My love is no beginning, my love is no end. No front, no back. My love won't bend. I'm in the middle, lost in the space. Loving you.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m., the Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs, New York, will present the world premiere of Trill 101, a performance piece that marks the culmination of a year-long, Skidmore-commissioned, multidisciplinary project developed by Melanie Charles and the Make Jazz Trill Again family in collaboration with Skidmore students and faculty. Brooklyn-based composer, singer, and multi-instrumentalist Melanie Charles makes music that pushes listeners to consider new possibilities, both sonically and politically. Her project, Make Jazz Trill Again, insists on and performs jazz music with and for the people. Through a series of class visits, podcast and video recordings, and jam sessions, the project explored the intersections of jazz, Afro-diasporic musical traditions, and contemporary artistic practice. Trill 101 also features video elements from Troy-based creative company Collective Effort. Again, the premiere is at the Arthur Zankel Music Center in Saratoga Springs tomorrow night at 8 p.m., and Melanie Charles joins us now. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's begin by having you please explain your movement and organization to Make Jazz Trill Again. What hurdle are you overcoming, or what are you incorporating to Make Jazz Trill Again, and what made you take that on to your strong shoulders?
Make Jazz Trill Again was a concept that I coined when I was studying at the New School back in 2007. And I was a rebellious young adult who felt that the institution of jazz was making it so inaccessible to young people, to people who were financially struggling, to people who just didn't have access to the information. I was studying about rent parties and, you know, how jazz was really the music of the time. It was pop music at a certain time. And I was imagining how amazing of a world it would be if this really intellectual music could be pop again. And so that's where Make Jazz Trill Again was born, out of that rebellion. And so I would do things like have panel discussions about women in jazz. And now that's such a popular thing. There's like panels everywhere in every college campus and every festival, you know, but I was probably, I would like to say, I was one of the first to really make space for those conversations with my peers. Now the Make Jazz Trill Again movement has expanded to a jam session infrastructure where we make space for musicians of all levels and of all, you know, instruments, whether you're an instrumentalist or a vocalist, there's a space to create art and make sounds together. And it also is a podcast where we have conversations with musicians that are well-known, like the great Terry Lynn Carrington and Christian McBride, to musicians that are incredible that maybe people don't know about them. People like India Owens, a really good friend of ours, was a guest on our podcast. So yeah, there's a lot of things that we're doing over here with Make Jazz Trill Again.
Definitely. How did you first encounter jazz? And what did you see that made you know that you needed to make it Trill Again?
I was born from a mother, a Haitian immigrant mother who loved jazz. And she, even though Haiti is rich with compas and roots music, like there's a lot of cultural, beautiful music there, she really loved American jazz music, even from back home in Haiti. And she said that she always wanted her children to be jazz musicians. So I guess it was a whole master plan she was cooking up because she would be playing Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra all the time. And so that's always been a part of my life story. I wish I had an aha moment when I realized that jazz was it, but it just always was part of my makeup.
How did this collaboration of Trill 101, which is premiering this weekend at the Zankel Center at Skidmore, how did this come to be? Who approached you to work on it? And tell us about the process thus far. It sounds like it's been incredibly immersive and really exciting.
It has been Janelle LaBelle, who is the head of the program. She's incredible. She loves the students so much and is a true advocate to all musicians, specifically Black and Brown people. And so she reached out to me. I think she saw the work that I've been doing and invited me to come in just to do a Make Gestural Again jam session with the students and sort of expose them to really getting in there and playing. Because sometimes in school, it could get really intellectual and you forget about the music part, you know?
Sure.
So she invited me in to do the jam session and it was so well received. Like classical bassists who never played jazz were improvising. It was really beautiful to see. And then together we embarked on doing this residency that really has expanded beyond what we initially thought it would be. I came to Skidmore a few months ago and we did some more jamming, some more master classes. I brought in some people from my Make Gestural Again team. I have really great collaborators, Uni Mojica, who works at Summer Stage with the curation and booking, but is also an incredible saxophone player. My partner Zacchaeus Paul, an incredible pianist and producer. Came in and worked with the students. My good friend Jonathan Michel, who's been my bass player for many years, came in and spoke with the bass students and did like a whole bass expose. And during that time, we learned some music together. And so on March 1st, we're going to be performing the music that we learned and also going to be displaying a film, sort of like an educational film that we put together during our time at Skidmore. We're going to be sharing snippets from that. So a lot of information, but a lot of improvisation. And also it's interesting that this project is being put on at such an important institution because at the core of Make Gestural Again is challenging the role of the institution and how it is in interacting with this music that we're making. So it's very interesting things that we're doing.
Sounds like it. When you and your colleagues from Make Jazz Trill Again worked with the students, did you arrive with a set curriculum, or was it, or did they tell you, or ask you what they needed to know or what they wanted to learn?
Yes, we came with sort of like some pillars that we wanted to talk about. Like one thing is like finding your own voice. That was a big theme for us. How do we do that? You know, so I came in with suggestions that helped me find my voice, whether it was connecting with my culture, thinking back to my childhood, what was I listening to? What was I eating? Where was I going? So we discussed that. We discussed technology and how technology can be utilized to expand the sound. And I brought in examples like Herbie Hancock, who has made big strides in music due to his work with technology. We talked about the role of the musicians and the different jobs that there are, you know, because it's not just playing an instrument. There's so much that we can do to help the music progress, whether you're a curator, someone that does advancing, a manager. So we talked about all the different roles that someone that's interested in the arts can take part in. Yeah, I think those were the main pillars. Oh, and mentorship, how to find a mentor, how to connect with a mentor, how to reach out to one, and what is the role of a mentorship and why it's so important for the students to find someone that they can connect with in that way.
The students who are, I mean, not to generalize, but the students who are in college now likely experienced part of their middle school or high school, or even some of their college during the COVID-19 pandemic shutdown, which seems to have ramifications and lasting ripples that aren't necessarily being looked directly at. And your project is so collaborative. Was there any, I guess, walls to be taken down in terms of getting everybody comfortable with each other to be able to improvise and work on this with you in the method that you hoped they would achieve?
Yeah, you're right. That's a really good point. It was very challenging to get them active in certain moments to sing, and but you know, that's like one of my specialties. I know how to get people in there. I'm gonna get you in there by hook or crook, okay? And I think the job of an educator, a teacher, a coach is to meet people where they are. And so and as quickly as possible, I tried my best to see, okay, what songs do you know? What like some kids they can only they were able to only bring a gospel song. Maybe they grew up in church and maybe they're doing opera right now, so they don't have anything else to sing, but maybe something from church. Great, let's do that. My band is amazing. They can play anything. Let's sing that, you know. There was a class where my friend Unimo did a master class about curation and festivals and booking. And you know, she was okay, any questions? And the class was silent. And it was interesting because we were thinking, wow, when we were in school, we would have been so hungry and so thirsty and asked to like intern or something, you know, if someone came to our school in that way. But we understood that times have changed. But I think with lots of patience, we were able to get them interested. And now this performance, I think, is going to reflect the participation of the students. I hear that they've been really working really hard on this music, and I'm happy that we're able to open them up a little bit more.
How does this music, as you've been working on it with the students at Skidmore and your other collaborators, how does it relate to and how is it different from music that you're making in other settings, which of course you always are?
Yes. It actually I'm doing a lot of music that I'm okay, so I'm doing new music that I've been working on for an album of mine. So this project has been good because it's helped me sort of stretch out and comb out music that I've been working on, new music. But I'm also doing old music that I have sort of expanded for a larger context. For example, there's a song that I do called The Dilemma, which was inspired by some mental health challenges that a family member of mine had. And usually I perform it with my quartet, but now for this concert, we're incorporating a vocal ensemble, a student vocal ensemble, and some horn students from the program. So it's really cool to be hearing this music on a larger scale with more instruments. That's been really, really fun to put that together.
You mentioned there are video interludes produced by the Troy-based creative agency Collective Effort. Why
Yes.
was including that important to the premiere of Trail 101 at Skidmore?
Well, we wanted this project to grow legs because a lot of times you have these incredible master classes and lessons and sessions, and they just sort of happen and that's that. But we all felt like the information that we were going to be sharing was something that might be useful to other schools, students, you know, and so we embarked on creating this instructional video, and it also served to be a really beautiful art piece because you can see the evolution from the beginning of working with the students to like what happened during those few days that we got to work together. And I think it also serves as a beautiful piece of art that the students can walk away with and say, I participated in this. And so yeah, we're going to be sharing that during the performance on the first, and it looks really good. It brought me to tears when I was looking at some of the edits of it. So I'm really excited for the rest of you guys to experience that with us.
The world premiere of Trill 101 is at the Arthur Zenkel Music Center at 8 p.m. on March 1st. Melanie Charles, congratulations on the work. I hope you have a marvelous time in Saratoga Springs and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Same to you. Thank you so much.
Once again, tomorrow night at 8 p.m., the Arthur Zenkel Music Center at Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs, New York, will present the world premiere of Trill 101. To learn more, visit skidmore.edu/Zenkel. To find out more about Melanie Charles and the Make Jazz Trill Again project, visit melaniecharles.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.